Hello, and welcome back to another episode of ABA Mom. I'm Allie, a board certified behavior analyst and busy mom of five.
And I'm Erica, a registered behavioral technician and a mom of two, and we're thrilled to have you guys back today.
I don't know if you heard my voice, Erica, but I'm still losing my voice, so I really hope I make it to the end of this episode. So just recovering being sick, so that's how committed we are to this. It's like I'm literally losing my voice trying to put this together. In today's episode, we're diving deep into a topic that can be both puzzling and concerning, which is pathological lying. We'll explore why people lie, what makes it pathological, and how we can understand the motivations behind lying through the lens of ABA principles.
And pathological lying isn't just like a simple fib. It's a complex behavior that can occur in both kids and adults. And it's essential to distinguish like typical lying and pathological lying.
And let's just start with the basics. So what is pathological lying? So in essence, it refers to a pattern of chronic lying that is often compulsive and can happen without a clear motive. And it's just not just like an offset situation, but it's also a repeated behavior.
And it can manifest in various ways. Some people may lie to embellish their story, while others might lie to create a different reality for themselves. The motivations can be pretty varied.
And I actually have a really good example of this. Have you seen that movie? I guess it's a movie. It's not really a documentary, but it's based on a true story about Belle Gibson. It's called Apple Cider Vinegar.
That name sounds familiar. I don't think I saw that movie, though.
So it's on Netflix, and it's really good. If you haven't watched it, I recommend everybody goes and watches it, and I won't put any spoilers out there. At least I'll try not to. So Belle Gibson is a real person. I'm an Australian woman who gained a lot of attention because she claimed that her terminal brain cancer was cured using natural therapies and even created a cookbook and an app, which also Apple promoted as well. Apple even had it on their app store. Her story gained significant media attention and led to a large following because, you know, eating healthy, they're curing cancer. And she advocated for this alternative medicine and healthy living. However, it later emerged that her cancer diagnosis was totally fabricated. And this wasn't just one incident. Like, she kept going and she did charity events. You know, there's even a couple of charities that she did for other people with cancer. However, those people never received those funds. When asked about her cancer diagnosis, where her diagnosis came from, she couldn't give a clear answer. Her story continuously changed. So it's a very interesting movie, and it didn't happen in real life. So the public was definitely outraged, and the legal consequences are basically that she was just sued and had to pay back this money. As far as I know, like, there wasn't any jail time, but it appears that her motivation was really driven on attention seeking versus the money. I think eventually it became the money, but it appears in the movie, she really didn't have a lot of friends. She threw a baby shower for herself and nobody came. So in real life, she didn't really have anyone, and she started getting all this attention on social media. So she just grew and like fabricated all of these lies. And it's just amazing to me, but apparently there's been a lot of people with fake cancer out there, like on social media. Like, and there was also this woman, I also think she's in Australia too. Maybe it's Australia, just kidding. But there's this one woman too, who said that her daughter was sick and actually poisoning her daughter. I don't know if you heard that one.
Yes. Tiny kids, right? Like really little kids. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a baby. So she was poisoning her kid and causing seizures to get sympathy on the internet. This is wild.
So scary.
It's super scary. So it's definitely out there, and it definitely could be really scary. And it could, you know, pathological lying can certainly be a mental health issue too. I mean, or part of a mental health issue, a bigger problem. So when we kind of look at it from an ABA perspective, when I'm talking about the motivation, there's different, like there's the four functions of behavior. So why the behavior is occurring is really what we're kind of looking at from coming at from an ABA perspective and really understanding where the behavior came from. So one function could be attention. So for attention, they could be seeking validation from others. Attention, like we might lie to get attention for a center of conversation. This could be especially true for children who crave validation from peers or adults, but also other adults that are craving that validation too.
Yeah. Another function would be possible escape. A kid might lie to avoid an uncomfortable situation, like getting in trouble for breaking something. And it's a way to escape the consequences of their actions.
Yeah. And then there's also access to tangibles. So sometimes people lie to gain access to something they want, whether it's a toy, privilege, or even a social benefit. So when we say, I like to say access versus access to tangible, just because access to anything, it doesn't necessarily have to be something tangible for it to be accessible.
And the last function we can look into could be sensory. Some kids or some individuals might find lying to be stimulating and rewarding in some way, leading to just a vicious cycle of deceit.
And it's important to note that these motivations can be influenced by various factors, including environmental, social, or like I've mentioned before, psychological elements as well.
For children, it might be a phase of development where they're testing boundaries and learning about, you know, the truth and consequences. But when lying becomes persistent and compulsive, it's a sign that there might be deeper issues that need to be addressed.
Exactly. So for adults, pathological lying can sometimes be linked to underlying mental health conditions, such as personality disorder or narcissistic personality disorder, such as certain narcissistic personality disorder, borderline personality disorder. It's crucial to approach this behavior with empathy and understanding to the best of, you know, your ability.
Yep. The big question is here, how do we address pathological lying in both kids and adults using the tools we learn in ABA? The first step is understanding the function of the behavior. That's where we always start, as we discussed earlier, with attention, access, escape, and forgetting all of them now, sensory.
Yeah, you got it. I knew you were on track. You're like,
I got it.
It's so, yeah, sometimes I forget all the time too, even though we use it all the time. Yeah. Like once we kind of know the why, like we can kind of come up with a plan on how to help navigate. Like I've had a couple clients navigate that. Like some families are very concerned about the consistent lying. And honestly, like the replacement behavior is telling the truth often, right? So that's the part that we want to reinforce, and that reinforcement can look different depending on the function of behavior, but that's definitely because now you kind of know the why, you know the motivation that's driving that behavior. It's just kind of finding that replacement. So the replacement for lying is telling the truth. So once we understand the motivation, we can develop those strategies to address it. So an example is if a child's lying for attention, we can focus on providing positive reinforcement. You know, we can provide attention for any time there's an honest behavior, and finding constructive ways to give them attention that they seek.
And if the motivation is for escape, maybe escape from a consequence, it might be helpful to teach different problem-solving skills and helping them navigate the situation and in turn reduce the need for them to lie.
Right. And, you know, for adults, it may be beneficial to encourage open communication, support them in seeking professional help if necessary, sometimes addressing underlying issues key to reducing this behavior.
Yep. Another effective strategy is modeling honesty behavior. Kids learn a lot from observing the parents. As
very true.
I know firsthand. So if they see us being truthful and minimizing our little fibs, then they're more likely to, you know, emulate that behavior.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, and I'm guilty of this too. Like when you take a kid and you're like, you don't want to buy them a ticket, or actually I had that experience at like a CC's Pizza, because when my younger one, like it says four and under, I think it's four or three, like that they get a free meal or their price is like greatly reduced. So I said, oh, you're four today. And they were five. And yeah. He's just like, no, I'm five. And then he's just like, the rest of the day, he's like, I'm actually four. Like, I totally taught this lie. Like, you know, it's not good. I feel like that's not great parenting. I mean, I saved a little bit of money, but I don't know if it's totally worth it. But I don't know. I think a lot of parents, I hope I'm not the only one that's guilty of doing that. Like, you're actually a little younger. Probably my kids are all tall, except for one.
Yeah.
There's one I could have gotten away with, but most of them are so tall. Like, there's no way. Like, my oldest looks like he's 25 and he's 17. Yeah. But yeah, I think as parents, we definitely like our kids model after us. Like, we're teaching those skills, like good or bad. Does that mean that all lying necessarily comes to the parents? No, but it is in some way, shape, or form a learned behavior. So by reinforcing honesty, we can catch our kids being truthful. It's essential. It's a reward honest moments and encourage more of that behavior.
And we're going to probably mention this in every video, but creating the safe space for communication. When kids feel like they can express themselves without fear of any kind of punishment, then they're less likely to resort to the lying.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely that fear base is all very temporary. It doesn't work in the long run because there's nothing being learned. So there's no skill being taught. You know, it kind of goes back to like that learned helplessness. So if we're just going from a punishment perspective, there's no replacement skill being taught for them. So they're being maybe taught not to lie out of fear versus having a replacement skill, which is to be honest. So, and that's such an important point, Erica. Building trust and open communication lays the groundwork for honest interactions.
And before we wrap this video up, a quick recap of some of our main points. Understanding the function of why. So is why somebody may be lying. Address motivation, you know, tailor your approach based on, you know, whatever the identified function was. Teach problem solving skills, you know, help them navigate the difficult situation.
Yeah, so being honest. Yeah. So definitely that safe space too is encouraging that open communication, I think, is so important. So we hope this episode gives you some valuable insights into understanding and addressing pathological lying in both children and adults using AVA principles.
Thanks for tuning in to an episode of AVA Mom. If you found this discussion helpful, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast platform.
And don't forget to follow us on social media for more tips and resources. Until next time, keep advocating for your kids and applying those ABA strategies. And remember, you're not in this journey alone.
Bye.